So I just feel like LinkedIn has so many opportunities, especially if you want to, you know, you're basically the in-house journalist for your brand.
This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmaker.fm/platform. That's rainmaker.fm/platform.
And now, enjoy The Missing Link with Jabez LeBret and Micah Gadia.
Welcome to this week's episode of The Missing Link. My name is Jabez LeBret, and we are joined today with, as always, our foundation, our rock. I would even go as far as to say our leader, Micah Gadia. How's it going?
Hi, Jabez. How are you?
Good. I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day, and excited to have our very special guest today. Good friend of mine, very astute and extremely well-versed PR person that does a lot of work in social media and social media PR. It is. And, you know, it's important. I know that we had last week's episode dealing with, obviously, the Microsoft acquisition of LinkedIn, which this is a LinkedIn podcast. And that was very, very important. But we immediately were thinking, you know, because obviously our hearts and thoughts are going out to all those in Orlando. And all of the situations that are arising from that tragedy. And it just seems fitting that, you know, and important that, you know, we don't necessarily need to talk about the ins and outs of what happened in Orlando or or what that means from a political or personal perspective. But we should talk about what does that mean to the people who listen to this show from a business perspective.
Right, right. What choices do you make after something like that occurs? Because it is universal.
Yeah. And I mean, how do you respond, you know, and what do you do? And we're not talking, we're not going to talk on the personal side of the fence, but what we are going to talk about, you know, I think that there is a lot of questions and sometimes people are afraid to ask that question. I don't know what to do during a tragedy that has happened. I don't know what to do to my normal marketing. How do I market? Should I market? Do I not market? Where do I market?
Turn things off?
You know? Yeah.
All those are great questions.
Oh my gosh. And as a business owner, you know, I can tell you, I understand the struggle because it, you know, revenue is our lifeblood. That's what keeps our employees fed. That's what keeps our health insurance going. That's what keeps our lights on. And so I get the challenge here. So very, very lucky we got Lisa Beyer joining us here today, an author and PR and a speaker. And many of you have probably heard her either on one of her shows, read her articles, or seen her in person at events that she speaks at. So before that, though, there's going to be a lot of discussion, I'm sure, in the LinkedIn group after this episode. So let's share with those that don't already know how to get into our super secret LinkedIn group.
You got it. Yeah. Well, if you're not a member yet, definitely if you're listening to this podcast, you'll probably want to become a member. And you can do that very easily. So if you're in the continental United States, you will take out your mobile device and you will text us at 41411. And the keyword in there is going to be my link. And you just take out that space because it does autocorrect each time. And if you're outside the United States, you will simply email us at missinglink@rainmaker.fm. And it's literally that easy. And I do think that you will benefit greatly from the questions that you are able to ask. It's a very safe group, and it is a very LinkedIn-focused group. I'm a stickler for keeping it very focused on LinkedIn, you know, questions and challenges and celebrations.
Yeah, so well put. We want to make sure that we keep our focus for what we're talking about. Right. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Lisa Beyer, and we're going to be talking about kind of both sides of the coin here. You know, strategy for tragedy and how to use LinkedIn from a PR perspective when things are going well. So we'll get a quick message from our sponsor and we'll be right back.
The Missing Link is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.
Welcome back to The Missing Link. My name is Jabez LeBret. We have Micah Gadia, as always, and amazing guest today, Lisa Beyer. Welcome, Lisa, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here talking about my favorite subject.
And Lisa, Lisa and I go way back. We have been speaking together PubCon for years.
I think five.
Yeah. It's been a while. And then we'll be at PubCon this fall, October, I think 10th. Yeah. October 10th through the 13th, doing the mastery session again. And so I've had the honor to get to learn a lot from Lisa over the years during those social media training days and throughout the PubCon sessions. And as an author, so that's you have Social PR Secrets, right? You have a new edition. Didn't you have a new edition of that come out recently?
Well, it's coming out. I'm working on the final touches. The third edition will be on Amazon, hopefully by next week, by the time this airs. But watch for the third edition. If it's not there, it'll be there very shortly.
Fantastic. We'll toss in the show notes links to that. It's a great book. I have a couple of copies myself. and so one thing that Lisa is amazing at is helping understand how to navigate the social media ecosystem for PR and on the other side of that, what not to do or to do during moments of tragedy or mistakes or when massive blunders have happened. And so in light of what recently happened in Orlando, we thought it would be a mindful time to take a moment out and talk about both kind of your social media strategy as a whole. You know, we've talked a lot on the show about, you know, not using your LinkedIn stuff and spreading it elsewhere and sharing it on Twitter and sharing it on Facebook and, you know, writing on your blog. And you know, certainly LinkedIn has its status update area. And man, I don't know, you know, Lisa, we tell people to create editorial calendars and to like be ready and planned out and maybe even automate some of their stuff. What happens when you wake up on a you know, Sunday morning and all of a sudden, you know, like all hell's broken loose?
Right. Life is just different from that point forward. Well, I can say a couple things firsthand. I live in Orlando, so this past incident was extra, you know, terrible for everybody that lives in Orlando. So we were hit with, you know, a big, you know, basically double whammy over the weekend. And then, I don't know if you heard about, we just had this alligator attack at Disney yesterday. So the whole town is just really gripping from every direction. And when something like this happens, I mean, it's happening in my backyard this time, but it could happen across the world. Like it happened in Paris and it wasn't in our backyard, but we felt it. When it comes to planning your editorial calendar, you really, unfortunately, have to plan for these things that are just part of our new normal. And it's sad to say, but you have to have a strategy for tragedy. I have a whole chapter in my book on planning for these types of incidents that have really become the new normal. And it's something that the social media team just needs to be proactive about, unfortunately.
And that's an important piece you brought up there, is that if you do have someone else who works with you on social media at all in any regards to your business, it sounds like you probably need to have a conversation with them ahead of time. I mean, like, I don't know. You can't wait for this to happen.
No, definitely. I mean, they need to know, okay, when something like this happens, you know, a couple different scenarios. Is it happening in your community? Like in this one, it happened actually in my community. So, you know, how is it affecting your brand or business? And there's different scenarios I would suggest depending on how your business or brand or, you know, personally affected. So is it happening in your community? Is it happening in your industry? If those two answers are no, and it's happening, let's say, in Paris, but it's something that is just gripping globally the world, then, you know, there's a plan for that. So if it's affecting your in your community and you're somehow involved in it, then there should be a semi-planned out, okay, are we going to acknowledge this and how are we going to do it? Are we going to stop all social postings and just get out of the way in the news stream for all the more critical information? So those decisions, whether or not you acknowledge it's happening and how you share the news, if you're going to share the news. Now, if it's something that's happening that is, let's say, you know, you're not in Paris and it's happening across the world, I would say let the pros share the news and tell the news and just get out of the way and let everybody get their information without your promoted posts getting in the way or your, you know, unnecessary company news announcements, maybe in the LinkedIn news feed. You know, what I recommended all the clients that I was working with, just stop everything, you know, get out of the way of the news feed and just let the news come in and let, so that people can see what they needed to see. So, you know, and then after a couple of days, you just kind of gauge it. I mean, what are you really going to miss out on in a couple of days of not posting on social media? Maybe you'll have a chance to, you know, kind of take a look at what you've been doing, take a look backwards and see if there's something that maybe wasn't related to anything at the time that you posted it that you now need to take down because it might not be in good taste.
Yeah, I mean, at GNGF, we did the same. So, you know, everything just got put on pause because what we were marketing and messaging, I think just didn't have a place at it. You know, I was, and Lisa, you have so many of these stories. I was on Twitter on Sunday, right, you know, reading through all the news and what was going on. And I saw a post from Bulletproof Coffee that said, did you have a cup of Bulletproof Coffee this morning? I did.
I mean, that's something you can't really predict is going to be inappropriate until something like this happens. And that's what we, you know, one of the tips that I always say is just go back and look at what your content that you've published that maybe you thought of ahead of time and just pull it if it's not going to sync with what's happening. And that's a perfect example, Jabez, of, you know, something completely innocent is now going to be, you know, taken in the wrong context.
Yeah, because I'm sure they didn't, you know, write that tweet on Sunday morning. I hope not that was a tweet that had been already put into the system ahead of time.
And probably a tweet that would, you know, that did, you know, maybe very well in the past and they were just repurposing it or, you know, they could have put it together on Sunday morning before they realized what had happened. Who knows? But still, it's, you know, just one of those things that just, you really just need to go back and scan through the content and make sure that, you know, there isn't anything like that example to pull out it.
So would you say that it's a good idea to maybe check your surroundings before you publish content in general?
Well, I mean, with automation that's happening, I mean, things could already be queued up. So I always recommend that somebody on the team is constantly watching the news to be alerted of something like this happening. And when something like this happens, then that person is responsible for going back and saying, okay, what's queued up and what is already published and pull out or stop, what needs to be done. So, but that step is usually an afterthought unless you actually have somebody assigned to this. This is the person that is watching the news for this type of thing to happen of when we need to take action.
It's such a key lesson to say that, like, you can't just expect that everyone's monitoring everything and everybody's naturally thinking, oh my gosh, have I checked what's automated or have I checked what our status updates are going to be today or what if our Pulse article makes sense, if it might be offensive in some way today that it wouldn't have been last week prior to this event. You have to actually assign people to be responsible for when something tragic happens to take X, Y, and Z steps, right? Am I hearing that correct?
Oh, totally. And it actually almost happened to me on Sunday morning. When I woke up, I didn't hear the news right away. I went to a yoga class and my daughter and I took a picture and went to publish it on Instagram. And it said something, and it was in a prayer pose, yoga prayer pose. And it said, celebrating my birthday, blah, 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 blah. Sunday was my birthday too. But luckily the Wi-Fi connection was so bad that it didn't actually publish. And I got home and saw everything on the news. And I was like, oh my God, I just published this, you know, ridiculous thing, you know, calling attention to my birthday. So I was able to like edit it and saying, praying for Orlando. And I felt like I could put myself in the situation of Orlando because I'm from Orlando, but you know, if I wasn't for Orlando, I might not, why would I waste, you know, that part of the news feed. So, you know, there's always things that happen where it's like either you catch it or you don't catch it and everybody's vulnerable to it. And it's one of these things with social media, everything's so real time that I don't agree with holding brands like super responsible for mistakes that are made unless it's like very blatant. You know what I mean? There's always going to be times where people are going to be like, oh, they didn't mean to do that or brands didn't mean to do that. And it gets pulled and the media sensationalizes a lot of mistakes that brands make that I don't think necessarily we need to take the time and energy to draw attention to that.
Yeah, we have to be willing to give people the enough space and breathing room to understand that, you know, a mistake is okay.
Right.
What do you do if you post something that is wildly inappropriate?
Well, pull it. I mean, as soon as you realize that it was not appropriate and apologize for it, take action right away and say, you know, that was, you know, we just posted something that was not appropriate. Or, I mean, if you do it quick enough and you can wait and say, okay, is this something that I need to even draw attention to if it was so quick that not a lot of people saw it?
Yeah, no, that's important. So if it's been out there for a little bit of time and it possibly was seen, and whether it was a status update or other any other automation that you have in your content, apologizing is okay. And
right. That's not and I a bad think thing. The way to know if people have seen it is that if people are reacting to it. So if you have a bunch of really negative comments, like, what are you doing posting this now? And people are sharing it, then you have to acknowledge it. But if you post something and you don't really see there's any activity around it because just hasn't really generated any attention or reach, then just take it down and move on.
What about people who see an opportunity to utilize news as a valuable way of getting views? And I mean, I can almost not even ask this question, but I think it's important to be said.
Well, I mean, in a situation like a tragedy where somebody is, utilizing a hashtag, I mean, that's definitely, that's not good journalism. And I see social media from a brand standpoint as journalism. I mean, why would you do that? You know, newsjacking, when it's you're inserting yourself into a story that is making yourself part of the story that somebody would want to know how this relates to it in a positive way. You know, there is a very real and true and worthy way of doing that. But a lot of brands don't do that and sometimes take advantage of the whole topical news that's going on and try to insert themselves into something that really they have no business being a part of.
Yeah, I think it was, I think the one of the stories that I recall is Epicurious did a series of tweets around the Boston bombing that had nothing to do with the bombing.
Right. Talking about
their recipes for oatmeal cookies or something.
Right. And in the hashtag. And, it was just, you're trying a couple different scenarios. We can just brand after brand making that mistake. And probably what's happening is somebody that is not experienced and, just doesn't have the basic marketing communication know-how to know that that's probably not the best idea to do, was on the front lines.
And it could be a genuine mistake. I could see me writing an article like, how to make your, how to make your legal online presence bulletproof. Mm-hmm. I could see using that what at one point in one day would be considered, a normal, analogy, where another day it takes on a whole different meaning. Do review your content through a different lens when things have happened.
Exactly. And in cases like the example with the headline, Jabez, that's something that you can go in and easily edit so that it's changed to a different word that means the same thing. You might not have to take down something, just edit it so that it's not offensive to, having offensive to people that might be hurt in a situation like the shootings.
And I love what you said about, social media being journalism. And, mm-hmm. I'm constantly telling people, you have to treat this as if you're a journalist. Check your sources. Don't pass on information you don't know to be fact, without giving a disclaimer saying that this, may or may not be true. Just be mindful of that and do approach, your LinkedIn or Twitter or whatever it is, from a lens of a journalist. Ask yourself, is this, ask yourself some critical questions before you just go off fire and posts and updating. So it sounds like the issue is have a plan in place already ahead of time. Assign people that are, whether that's you or someone else, that is assigned to manage the situation if it does happen. Use a different lens to go through looking at what you've got and what you're posting, and check your auto posts to be safe. On the flip side of this, from a PR perspective, moving away from the tragedy and away from when something bad happens, when things are going well in the world and when we're not having to deal with managing a difficult moment in time, but things are just kind of humming along in a normal sense, I feel like LinkedIn's one of those things that so many people don't understand from a PR perspective what on earth to do with this LinkedIn thing, but everybody wants press.
So I just feel like LinkedIn has so many opportunities, especially if you want to, you're basically the in-house journalist for your brand and you want to get that exposure, and you don't have to necessarily reach out to journalists, but LinkedIn is a great way to mix and mingle and get your news out to journalists and then also directly to your audience, whether it be through a personal LinkedIn profile, maybe from your executive team, or maybe it's through your company page on LinkedIn, or a combination of both.
How do you typically advise someone who, because a lot of our audience is kind of a broad range, right, of marketing. And so some of them are new and they're just getting started off. Some of them are, you know, senior executives at companies that are diving deeper into this LinkedIn world. You know, do you have some kind of, I guess, ever true advice across the board that says, here's a couple of things that you should be considering doing inside the LinkedIn ecosystem from a PR perspective?
Sure. So I teach a class at University of Florida and mostly juniors and seniors. Jabez has been a guest to my class. And so that would be a perfect example of people just getting started out on LinkedIn. And what I tell people, like, you know, maybe just graduating college or just getting started on LinkedIn, is to, besides optimize your profile, and making sure that you have it filled out, not just the basic resume information, but optimizing it as much as possible. But also, I tell my students to publish on LinkedIn and write. I take advantage of those long form updates so that you are positioning yourself as an expert in what you want to be known for. So what topics do you want to be associated with, and where are you trying to get your niche and find your job? And if it's just going to use the example, you know, if yoga is your niche and you want to write about different topics surrounding yoga. So what are the, you know, best practices if you're starting up a yoga company, or interviewing different people in the yoga industry. But the whole idea is centering around the topic that you want to be known for, that you want to attract attention to, and start publishing. And starting out when you're just getting started on LinkedIn and getting that content out is going to get you associated with those keywords and either attract maybe the job that you're looking for or attract somebody from the media to interview you on the topic. You know, the media doesn't say, oh, I only interview somebody that is 28 and older. I mean, the media, there's a lot of young entrepreneurs out there that the media is always looking to interview. So, you know, I look at everything through the publicity standpoint and how to get exposure and how to position yourself positive in a positive light. So to me, that's one easy way to use LinkedIn that I wouldn't say everybody is doing.
So if you're producing content, like, how do you get the attention of journalists?
Well, I mean, one tactic is to find those media on LinkedIn and follow them, connect with them, and share their stuff. So in my newsfeed, you know, I'll see different journalists that are sharing their own stories, and I'll like that story and comment on it. And if it's relevant, which I'm following journalists that are relevant to my world, I'll share that. If they see that you're doing that and then they start seeing your content and they're following you on LinkedIn, they're going to, you know, you're going to form that relationship. It's going to start out as just, okay, this person is nice and sharing my stuff. And, you know, eventually they're going to, you'll build confidence with that person, and that relationship will grow. So that's one way. And another way is journalists are also searching within LinkedIn for different topics that they want to, maybe they're researching for a story. And so if you're talking about those topics and those keywords are going to be coming up in, in the LinkedIn search result.
Yeah, that is the two sides, right? And we've been bringing this up a lot, which is you got to produce content on a regular basis. You can't just hope it's magically somebody's going to look at you and think that you know what you know. And then it is a great, great piece of advice to share their stuff, share the journalist's stuff, finding people that are in line with what, you know, the areas of the world that you're, you know, trying to make an impact on and be a thought leader. I ask this question, Lisa, of every guest. If you were sitting down with a really, really advanced LinkedIn user, what piece of advice would you give them?
Well, I feel like even the really advanced LinkedIn users, they don't necessarily take advantage of the writing aspect. I mean, so they might be a power user in groups. But what I see is that taking advantage of, like, going full circle. So, okay, so you're, let's say, a power user, you write the long form post on your personal profile. Are you then taking that and then translating it to, let's say, your company page and sharing it on your company page and then taking it to the next level and then amplifying it even more with LinkedIn ads and in a very targeted, strategic way? And then are you taking that content and possibly doing LinkedIn paid ads to the journalists and the influential bloggers that cover that topic? So to me, I see that as, like, It seems easy, but I see even the most advanced LinkedIn users not doing those steps. And that is today's media relations. I mean, media relations, as far as picking up the phone and pitching an editor or journalist, does not happen anymore. phone numbers aren't even published. Nobody has a phone at their desk. They have a phone in their back pocket, you know, their iPhone, and they're not publishing that number.
So true. So true. So that bringing it full circle, you know, creating your stuff and then maximizing your yield, getting it in as many different places as possible, is going to dramatically increase your chances of it getting picked up and found. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today in this somber topic, but an important one, and some great tips there on just, I think, leveraging the media side of the fence and getting your stuff out there. It takes work, folks. You got to be producing that content, and it does help if you kind of stroke the ego of the journalist a little bit and share their stuff. So fantastic advice. Thank you very much for joining us. Mike, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you. And really appreciate having everybody around today.
Thank you for listening to The Missing Link. Tune in next week as we continue the discussion to improve your marketing on LinkedIn.